Welcome to Revealing Men, conversations that pull back the curtain, revealing the inner lives of men. I'm Randy Flood, psychotherapist and director of the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan. Today we have therapist Al Haystack. He's one of the principal therapists here at the Men's Resource Center, providing therapy, group therapy for men with anger management issues. And he also provides individual group therapy for men in the domestic relationships program where they struggle with abuse and control and anger issues in their intimate relationships. So welcome, Al.
Thank you.
Yeah. So yeah, today we want to talk specifically with you, Al, about men and anger and just learn about that and understand men's relationship with anger. And so why don't you just kind of start out a little bit about just kind of normalizing anger as part of being a human being.
Sure. Well, obviously, everybody knows that there's a tendency for all of us to get irritated, frustrated, pissed off, however you want to call it, that emotion is real, it's normal, it's a natural part of who we are.
Right. And do you see it as one of the positive functions of anger is that it can alert us to problems or injustices and kind of maybe move us into action or...
Absolutely. And that actually, what you just said, ends up being one of the things that we're trying to help men to recover about this emotion, which can have so much negative baggage
right
with it. So guys can come here and think that, oh gosh, this anger that I had, that I displayed to my kids or to my partner, it really scared them, it scared me, reminds me of my father or something like that. And they go, gosh, this anger stuff is something that I need to stay away from. This is bad stuff. I need to get my vaccination, my inoculation, not to get so angry.
Right. So they are like, help me get rid of this, Mr. Haystack. It's causing all kinds of problems for me and damage in my
right.
life. And you're
right.
like, no, let's so, look at
so,
it this way.
So we really want to start right away kind of reminding guys that, hey, this is part of how human beings and communities respond to something that isn't right.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we're not happy about this. Mm-hmm. City hall or whatever it is, the community kind of gets together or the person feels like there is something that's awry, something that's not fair, something that's wrong in a workplace or somewhere.
Right.
And anger is right there kind of saying, okay, this can marshal your energy to do something.
Right.
And one of the things that we really want to try to emphasize with guys is, okay, let's have your anger inform your response, not be your response.
That's a good way.
It's like if you have a really big sense of, dang, that's really bad. Well, okay, you know, much of the time in our relationships, if we feel safe with a friend or with a partner, maybe we can just kind of, you know, come out with it. But in a lot of places, it's better to take a breath and, okay, what am I going to do with this energy? How can I allow this anger to help me solve a problem like you were saying?
Right.
Or create a better situation.
Right. So we established that anger is normal, and it's part of being a human being, and it's okay for men to have anger, even if they've expressed anger that has been hurtful. They can learn ways of using anger in a positive way. Let's talk a little bit about how male socialization can sometimes train men or socialize men into experiencing high levels of anger, because I think what you and I experience is that anger is like the tip of the iceberg, and below the water is all these other feelings that make men feel unmanly when they feel, whether that's maybe shame or hurt or fear. And I'm wondering if part of your education and work with men is helping them appreciate the way in which male socialization cultivates their relationship with feelings.
Yeah. That's that's really a common conversation, and guys can get to the point where they, it's pretty easy for them to see and understand that it's easier to feel anger, safer to feel anger sometimes than it is to feel hurt or fear or sadness or shame. That vulnerable emotional response is disempowering. It feels like.
It feels that way, yeah.
It feels like the enemy. And I mean, just the other night in a group, one of the guys said, well, I remember when my father said, well, stop that whimpering. I'll give you something to cry about. And it's almost like that must be out of the playbook for a lot of our experience.
Right.
That grandfathers, stepfathers, fathers, uncles, teachers, coaches.
Right.
Anyway, that's kind of the message that these other feelings are not acceptable.
Right. If you're a man, it's like the only time it's okay maybe to cry is if you're really physically injured.
Right.
Otherwise, if there's nothing broken or bleeding, then the emotion you have is not legitimate, and so suck it up. And so there's this teaching to kind of stuff those feelings and maybe even learn to transform them into anger, because anger kind of creates power. It has a physiological, like, say something about the adrenaline, and it kind of gives you this rush, maybe. Or...
Right. Well, that's really one of the very attractive things for men, and one of the reasons why anger is such a vulnerable emotion for us.
Yeah.
Because adrenaline is related to it. And we've talked in group before about how probably faster than mainlining, heroin, as quickly as somebody might have an experience of a high from that, getting angry, it's like split second.
Right.
And you can transform hurt or fear or sadness into a power feeling position.
Right.
And so that makes it challenging, because you get this adrenaline cocktail that you experience. And many men, boys growing up young men and then men, this can become such a habitual sort of pattern that they may not even be aware of what the trigger is. Well, why did you get so angry?
Right.
Well, you did this, or you did that.
Right.
And rather than I felt this, and actually it's safer for me to tell you or to say to you, why did you do that? Rather than, oh, why did you do that? So the vulnerability, just being more real about, well, gosh, that felt disrespectful, or that felt hurtful, or gosh, I didn't like how you said that.
But that can feel, I would, for some men, if they're buying into a more hyper-masculine, more power-oriented, hierarchy dominance model to acknowledge feeling, those kind of feelings can feel like you're displaying powerlessness or helplessness. And that other person, you're then giving them your vulnerability, and then they'll take advantage of that and overpower you, control you, and hurt you.
Right.
And so it's kind of a dog-eat-dog world. So it's not a... easy telling men or convincing men that that's a good way to go.
Right.
And sometimes it's not. I mean, we're not here to say that it's never, it's always safe to be vulnerable, because the reality is it's not. But in our most intimate relationships with our intimate partners in particular, you really want to practice vulnerability and openness, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that for maybe even the majority of men, I think the sort of the aggressive, more sort of machismo stereotype. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that's most men. I think most men, I think probably all of us are capable of getting into that mindset.
Right.
Where the guy may be very compliant in the workplace and you would never expect that he would challenge the supervisor the way he challenged, his teenager at home.
Right.
It can be right there. One of the things that we talk with guys about is that there's really a kind of a continuum of response. And that, so on the one side, we can really be, we can get angry,
right,
and aggressive and maybe loud and pushy. And of course, the real danger thing about anger is that we don't want it to lead to violence. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is really what is wrong with anger.
Right.
Is when it leads to either emotional violence or physical violence.
Right.
And when it gets associated with violence, then it's kind of like, oh gosh. And then the teenager starts to get fearful of my anger because they saw the violence connected to it.
Right. So then it becomes this pattern of, it's like if I've experienced my anger as effective tool to getting someone to comply or be subdued or listen or respond to what I want, then I can use it almost as a tool to not necessarily, I don't have to pop off or aggress, but I can look like I'm getting angry.
Right.
And then that person is trained to respond to those signals and submit and modify their behavior because they don't want to see it escalate.
Right.
And so it becomes this kind of this dance of anger.
So if we've grown up around this kind of fearfulness about anger, because it's been connected to some level of emotional abuse or some kind of violence, you punched a hole in the wall or something like that, then it becomes a little scarier to be in touch with that anger yourself growing up. It's kind of like, gosh, I'm not seeing anger dealt with in a very safe way.
Right. And for me and my relationship with anger, having grown up and seeing some men in my life and role models in my life hurt people with anger and growing up more of a sensitive person, my problem with anger was kind of on the other side, was to suppress it. And I didn't want to own my anger because I was afraid that it was just going to be dangerous like I saw. So, my relationship with anger is becoming more acquainted with it and using it in that way you talked about more positively to empower myself for social justice or whatnot.
Right.
So that's the other side. We're not talking so much about that today, but I just wanted to mention there might be some men who struggle with suppression of anger because of experiencing trauma as a child.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or that... or being bullied at school, or just that the way they saw frustration or anger dealt with may not have been sort of out there angry, but just more stoic. Mm. Just more, we just don't talk about those things, or we're just holding it, just holding it in.
Right.
And I think there's probably a majority of guys. Perhaps I'm hunching that have a similar kind of issue that you're talking about, where they may end up being on the under assertive side or cautious about really telling somebody what they think, sucking it up and being a nice guy and avoiding the conflict.
Right.
That is probably where a lot of men live, and so what we're really going for is to recognize that, we all of us, I mean, you just shared yours. I certainly have some of how I learned about anger and whether it was you know, something that it was safe to talk about, right, or not. But it's coming to a place where we can take that energy and really work at being respectfully assertive,
right,
to speak to how pissed off I am in a calm way.
Right.
So I suggest to guys, you know, it's like, hey, you know, you could say to your partner, girlfriend, you know, you could say, hey, I am really angry about this. I mean, you don't have to say it like, oh, I'm really angry about this, like you're sweet or something, right, about it. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to be yelling.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That though, I think we really just have to recognize with socialization, is that most men have not got a lot of training,
right,
around that.
Right.
They get a lot of stuff with the media and all of that, action movies, all
right,
that, where it's this aggressiveness. We don't see too many movies about somebody who's just a really nice guy.
Oh, Alan Holder.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, the humor thing,
yeah,
turning angry, angry feeling, right, sideways, right?
Right. Right. So it was helpful to talk with you today about our relationship with anger, normalizing it, and then seeing the dangers of living too much in anger and it kind of running us and hurting others, and then also toward the end here, we talked a little bit about the suppression of anger and how that can lead to passivity and conflict avoidance. And
right,
and the work you do with men is very important work. And I appreciate you coming today and talking to us about that a little bit.
Yeah. So one of the things that I sort of have fun with is telling guys that, hey, you know, we know what to do when the car overheats. Right, when the car overheats, I mean, we automatically go, yeah, well, there's something wrong here.
Right?
I mean,
right,
the coolant's off, the thermostats,
yeah,
we got a leak someplace.
We're curious about it. We want to know, right?
We got to figure out, why is it that my car is overheating?
Right.
So the story I tell them is that just, you know, so I'm driving down the road and my car overheats, and you can, you know, and I pull up alongside the road, but I don't pop the hood. I just keep the car running, and the steam is just coming out of it. And you come alongside me and roll down your window and say, "Excuse me, sir, I see that your car is overheating. What's the problem? You know?" Okay. And I roll down my window and say, "I don't really care to know what the problem is. I'm into the experience of my car overheating." And they look at me like, yeah, I know what you're saying. It'd be kind of like, because if that actually happened, you'd probably want to say, have a nice day, I'm leaving, you're right, kind of weird.
Right, right, right.
But the point of it is, which we talk about, is that, of course, the car overheating sometimes is less complicated than our getting angry, but right, to have the curious mind to try to figure out, okay, right, if I'm angry, what is it that I'm really feeling?
Right.
Let's back right, off here.
Right.
It's probably some kind of fear, hurt, sadness. There's some emotion that I've got. So right, chill out, turn the car off, you know, take a break here.
Right.
Figure out what it is and then address it.
Right.
You know, talk to somebody, go for a walk.
Then get back on the road of life.
Then get back on the road of life.
Right. All right. Well, thank you, Al, for coming and talking with us today about this.
All right.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Revealing Men. If you're looking for more information about counseling, coaching, and consultative services, please visit the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan online at menscenter.org. Also, feel free to contact us on our website if you have questions about this segment, ideas for a topic, or would like to be a guest on the Revealing Men podcast. Please take a moment to subscribe and leave us a rating so others can find us. Be well and have a great day.